Hello, it's Father Jim. I've been looking at the Psalms, which are our Lord's Prayer Book, hoping that you will find with him a way of being in touch with God the Father, using this inspired collection of prayers. And I've been looking at the moment at Psalms of Praise. And the motive for praise usually has been that God's love is everlasting, that there's a covenant he's made, and an exodus. He brought them out of Egypt, gave them a people and a land, and also creation. To praise God for creation. We've done that for 2 or 3 weeks now, but this week I want to introduce you to a long psalm, which to me is the Beethoven of all psalms. It's an absolute colossus. But one just needs to see what was the Jewish idea that they picked up, probably from the Babylonians, about what the world is like, the cosmology. The Babylonians had a myth that there's the sun god fighting the goddess of ocean, and we know that water and fire don't mix well. So the goddess of ocean tried to put out the sun god. But the sun god had a battle with Tiglat, the goddess of ocean, beat her, cut her in half, you know, divide and conquer, threw one half into the highest heavens and the other half down below, and separated them with a great big upturned draining, you know, we call it a colander, one of those things with holes in that drains vegetables, upturned. And the sky is that. And when it rains, the water comes through the holes. Then they made human beings out of the slime of the earth to be the stool pigeons of all the gods. That was the sort of view of the world that they inherited. But they made it holy, and they see God as a great big impresario putting on a huge drama. So, first of all, God creates the vault of heaven, which is this upturned colander with holes in. To take the sting out of water, he divides it, because Jews didn't really like water. If you look at the coastline of Israel, there's only one natural harbour at Haifa. Israel doesn't really have much in the way of the navy. It's a good air force, apparently. But people didn't really like deep water. A few fishermen mucked around in the Sea of Galilee, but in the Dead Sea, if you get your bottom up, you can't get it down again. It's so salty. It was to do with drowning, you see. They found water under trees, where the water table was. That was benign water. But this mass of ocean God divided, placed half above the colander and half down below. And when it rains, the water comes through the holes, and when the rain's used up, you can see light through, which are the stars, the holes in the sky. And God lives in the highest heavens, above the waters, above the heavens. Then the earth was built on the seas, but had foundations, and God said to the seas, you mustn't cross your boundaries again. The whole colander's kept up on mountains at the edge, so the seas mustn't wash down the mountains, otherwise the whole proscenium arch comes down. So now the stage is set, we need stage lighting. So the sun comes in on the pulley east first thing in the morning, travels across to the west, exits west, runs around the back of the stage at night, comes in again first thing in the morning. Then we need to know seasons. So the moon tells us when it's hunter's moon, harvest moon. The Native Americans call the months by what was happening. The moon when the deer shed its horns. The moon when the chokeberries are ripe. Beautiful. So the moon comes in on the pulley and shows you the seasons. Then God says we need stage furnishings. So if the earth is like a digestive biscuit, what we call a cookie in America, it's got holes in. And the water from underneath comes up through the holes, which are springs, this cookie. So he says, now we have some mountains and trees and animals and birds of the air and great big things in the ocean. Now we need dramatis personae to take part in this drama, man and woman. But God doesn't start this drama and then go away and see what they say in the reviews and the papers. He wants to take part in the drama himself. How does God come from the highest heavens, above the waters, above the heavens, to earth? Well, he uses a cloud as a taxi. It comes by cloud. And the nearest we could get to was to go to the top of the mountain, like Moses did, and the cloud came down, and there was a trysting place there. And on Good Friday, our Lord went up Mount Calvary, and there was darkness over the whole earth because the Father was coming to take him home. And the idea of him travelling back to heaven by cloud at the Ascension, and that he'll come again by cloud, is the most beautiful imagery. But also they noticed on a cold day, when you breathe, a cloud comes out of your mouth. And they thought, this is God's breath lent to us, the Spirit of God. So when we're inspired, and in prayer it's good to breathe in, otherwise your lungs collapse, the Spirit of God comes into us and we're inspired. And when we die, that breath God has lent to us returns to God and we expire. The Spirit has gone out of us. So I'm going to share now this beautiful psalm, the Colossus Psalm, 103 and 104, which I hope in your own time, don't gobble it, it will give you indigestion, but you might like to marinate in it and soak. Bless Yahweh my soul, Yahweh my God, how great you are, clothed in majesty and glory, wrapped in a robe of light. You stretch out the heavens like a tent. You build your palace on the waters above, using the clouds as your chariot. You advance on the wings of the wind. You use the winds as your messengers and fiery flames, which I presume are the lightnings, as your servants. You fixed the earth on its foundations, unshakable forever and ever. You wrapped it with the sea as with a robe. But the waters overtopped the mountains, which I presume are the glaciers. But at your rebuke, the waters took to flight. They fled at the sound of your thunder, cascading over the hills, down to the valleys, down to the reservoir you made for them. You fixed the limits. The waters must never pass again, or once again they would flood the land. You set springs gushing in ravines. Near here you attract the thirsty wild animals. In the trees the birds build their nests and sing in the branches. From your palace you water the uplands until the earth has received all that your heavens have to offer. You make fresh grass grow for the young cattle, and those plants made use of by man for him to get food from the soil, wine to make him cheerful, bread to make him strong. But all creatures depend on you to feed them. With generous hand you feed them. You made the moon to tell the seasons. The sun knows when to set. You bring darkness on. Night falls. And all the forest animals come out, seeking their food from God. The sun rises, and they retire and go to lie down in their dens. And man goes out to work, to labour until dusk. Yahweh, what variety you have created. Earth is completely full with the things you've made. There are creatures that are large, creatures that are small. Among them is the vast expanse of ocean with the ships going to and fro and the great sea beasts that you made to amuse you. But all creatures depend on you to feed them. With generous hand you feed them. But when you turn your face away, your creatures suffer. When you stop their breath, they die and return to dust. But you give breath, and fresh life begins. You renew the face of the earth. You keep renewing the world. I mean to sing to Yahweh all the days of my life. I mean to make music for my God as long as I live. May these reflections of mine give Yahweh as much pleasure as Yahweh gives me, at whose glance the earth quakes and the mountains smoke. May sinners vanish from the earth, and wickedness exist no more. Hallel, Allel, U, Yah. Amen.